Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Well, they don't look at all like Dr. Tommy Schmalzi from the Rock Hill School System because he's a sick boy and he couldn't be here today. But guess what? We've got a great replacement lineup here. Two ladies that are very involved with the Rock Hill Symphony Orchestra, and they've got a big event coming up here real soon. Edna Franklin and Betty Plum, and we thank you for jumping in here at the last minute to keep this program on the air. All right. So let's start with some introductions. Betty Plum, you're no stranger to this program. Tell us about you.
Well, Manning, first of all, thanks for thinking of us first as a replacement. We're glad to be here to talk about the Rock Hill Symphony Orchestra. And I'm actually one of the newer members of the board. I just came on in July, but I've been familiar with the board since its inception, and I've always thought that Rock Hill deserved its own community orchestra. And not only do we have one now, but we have one of the premier orchestras in the region. Just a fabulous symphony. I have now been retired from the South Carolina Arts Alliance as executive director for 6 years, and happy to jump into a lot of the local things that are happening here that make Rock Hill such a special place, especially the arts and cultural sector. So I'm glad to be here representing the symphony.
Yeah, and what
today.
She's not telling you about herself is she is what we call, I'll call her Mrs. South Carolina Arts. I mean, you got all kinds of accolades and awards and what have you for all the stuff you've done over all the years, Betty.
Well, thank you.
Well deserved. Thank you. All right. You think she's ready to handle this now?
She's been thinking about it. She was just on television yesterday.
Here we go. Edna Franklin, go ahead. Tell us about you.
Hi, I'm Elda Franklin. I'm on the board of directors of the Rock Hill Symphony, and I was one of the original members of the board of directors. And somehow I found myself in the position of being the director of education. So my job is to liaise with the schools of Rock Hill and plan programs for the kids. I'm also the grant writer for the symphony and a member of the symphony. I play viola in the Rock Hill Symphony. My background is in education, and so this is a really good fit for me.
Perfect fit.
Education and music. It's perfect.
Good for you.
And the orchestra is absolutely fantastic. Ever since I've been here, I've dreamed of having a hometown symphony orchestra, and it looks like that dream has finally come true.
Well, it has, and it's been around here for a few years now, but this was no easy feat. I mean, creating the orchestra and getting it up and running and getting conductors in here and all that kind of stuff, that was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to make it happen.
Yes.
So how long has the orchestra been around?
It started in 2017 with a group of musicians and some local citizens who felt it was time to have a symphony orchestra in Rock Hill. A lot of people are not aware that that South Carolina has about 16 symphony orchestras. Right. And Rock Hill at that time was the only town of our size that didn't have an orchestra. And so I think that that fact appealed to some of our city leaders, and so we were able to get quite a lot of support for the idea. And it has just grown. It has really grown over the past 5 or 6 years.
So when we talk about a symphony orchestra,
yes,
this is not like the band that's going to play at Friday night at the local pub. I mean,
no.
this is big time. We're talking about How many different musicians will be in this orchestra?
We have, on average, about 60 musicians, but it can go as high as 70, 73 musicians, depending on the music literature that we're playing. Some literature requires only 20 or 30 musicians. Other literature requires a cast of thousands.
So these musicians are not all local musicians, are they?
We operate the same way just about every other orchestra does in this state. We have to get our musicians from the region. And a lot of musicians in South Carolina, as well as other places, they make their living on the gig economy. So some of our musicians might play with as many as five or six orchestras. And they just make a circuit of orchestras.
I love the terminology, gig economy.
Yes,
if you get a chance, if you need a trombone, call me.
You go to the list of trombone players.
Well, what's always intrigued me is these musicians. They could come in here cold turkey. Pardon me. They could come in here cold turkey, be handed a sheet of music, and play it like they've been playing it all their life.
Absolutely. I mean, we have professional quality musicians.
Jeez.
And we only have three rehearsals for each concert. So we get our music 2 weeks in advance, and we're expected to know our part for that first rehearsal. So then it's just a matter of tweaking, and then we perform a concert.
So you take your viola at home with your sheet of music?
Yes.
And you start boom, 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 the one thing.
That's right.
And then when you go to the rehearsal, they'll say, hey, you got the note right, but you're not doing it right.
Not quite right. Yeah. So, and most of the time, we'll work on ensemble things, you know, playing together and doing the same thing together at the right time, you know.
That's important.
Very important.
So how many musicians will we have here for the upcoming performance?
I think probably somewhere around 60.
60?
Mm-hmm.
Good Lord. Whew. And we'll get into the details of that. It's just a Valentine's concert that you all are doing.
Yes.
I heard you on the air the other day talking about this. So 60 musicians. All right, so you got these musicians, and they're not coming free. I mean, most of them are charging you for this, right? You got to have some money to pay them.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And it costs a lot of money to run an orchestra.
Well, give me an idea. If you're going to have 60 people here for this concert, you have a budget of roughly what to pull that off?
Just for the musicians, it would probably be somewhere around $20,000 for the concert.
$20,000 for the concert. That pays for rehearsals and the big show and ta-da. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's why you have to raise money throughout the year.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we never stop.
And you all do how many concerts a year?
Well, this year we cut back because the pandemic hit us pretty hard in the budget category. We're only giving three concerts this year.
Three part of the series. Then we had the holiday concert and the big school concert that Elda can tell you. Now, you talk about cast of thousands. We did have a cast of thousands.
We're going to get into that in just a second here.
Okay.
I want to keep my train of thought going this way.
Okay. All right.
So you've got a budget for this particular concert.
Yes.
And normally, if you don't have a pandemic, you'll do how many shows a year?
We might do, we're aiming at around six.
Six.
We have a long-term plan to build the number of concerts and the different types of concerts. We want to do more pops concerts, you know, that have a wide appeal. We want to do more in the family and the education concerts, as well as increase our Masterworks concerts.
More of the classical stuff.
Yes.
Okay. So let's divert here for a second, because I want to repeat this a couple of times. This concert coming up is when?
This is February 11th. This is Saturday, the Saturday before Valentine's, and the theme is love, aspects of love.
Can't imagine why that was selected. Okay.
So you're going to hear musicians, composers from the Romantic period that really know how to express love and romance in a symphonic way. It's going to be beautiful, and it will have some extra little touches to it as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, we'll have a group of Shakespearean actors who are going to perform a scene from Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Oh, boy.
With the Mendelssohn incidental music. to that play.
So this is going to be held at South Point High School.
South Point High School. Right. It's going to be at 7:30, but we have a pre-concert talk by our guest conductor at 6:30, and that's Dr. Charles Jones Evans, and he is the conductor from the Long Beach Symphony Orchestra down in Myrtle Beach. So he will be here as our guest conductor.
Now, the conductors, kind of, are they part of your gig economy? I mean, do they just kind of go from orchestra to orchestra?
Well, fortunately, most of them have a full-time job.
Oh, I see. Okay. So this is a little part-time gig for him.
Really, yeah.
Really. He'll come up here and wave the baton and make you all sound good.
That's the idea, yes.
And he's here for the rehearsals, I would think?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
This is interesting. So the concert starts at 7:30, the special thing with the conductors at 6:30.
6:30.
And the concert lasts roughly how long?
They're usually about an hour and a half.
An
hour and a half. We do intermissions? No.
Yes,
one? Sometimes. For this one there will be. Yes, okay. I think so. Yeah.
And what do we do during intermissions? We have a little glass of wine or do we have a
Not in a school, you don't.
That's right. And actually the venue is always the number one problem. You've got to have the place first and then the dates and then line up the musicians and the conductor, and as long as you're doing it in the schools, you cannot have a glass of wine. So we're looking at different options.
Yeah, I bet you're solidly behind the proposed performing arts center.
Absolutely.
In downtown Rock Hill.
To have that as a future home, and our big challenge then would be to pay to be there every day and every night. So, but you know, we're all up for it. Everybody is in support of that for sure.
Good. All right. So the dollars that you raise, they come from all different sources. People who just individuals, businesses, what have you?
Yes. All of the above. Individuals, businesses, occasional grant funds.
Good. Right. But you do charge, obviously, to come into the concert. And let's talk about tickets.
Starting at $25.
All right.
And, gee, our holiday concerts were less than that. So they were $20, I believe. So, and there's different ranges if you want to come in as the sponsor, where you would buy more of a package deal.
Right.
And you would get a certain number of tickets and certain seating. But, you know, these auditoriums we're using are quite large.
Oh, they are.
And so it's a challenge to fill them. So we hope everybody will come and take advantage of that.
So the South Point auditorium holds what?
About 1,100.
1,100. I was going to say 800.
We only book the downstairs, but the auditorium itself holds 1,400. And we fill that with the education concert.
Yes,
oh, good.
We did.
Which we're going to roll into here in just a second. So, will this be, this is what? Only the first concert of the year, right?
This is our last concert season. Yes.
What's the season?
Quickly. We started in September.
Okay.
We had a concert in September, one in October.
December.
December we had the holiday concert. Before that, we had an educational concert. And then this one is our final.
So you take off basically from March through the summer.
Well, not always. We will have concerts at the Fountain Park. I even did that during the pandemic.
Oh, yeah. Outdoor
bring
concerts.
Bring an ensemble there. And hopefully we'll be doing more of that sort of thing and outreach. But even during the pandemic, we had recorded music that you could listen to that we would send out in our e-blast and things like that. So we want to be year-round and be, an integral part of everything.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I think that's great. All right. We're going to come back, talk about this educational thing after we take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy. Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Now, anybody who's anybody knows exactly what happens here at Substation 2. We do this thing called fresh subs and salads 6 days a week. This is when Charlie Ruffalo puts his fork down and comes out to make sure we do this right. So at the count of three, anybody who can read, including you, Jonathan Brown, can tell us exactly what happens here at Substation 2. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
See that? Everybody knows it. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Love our subs? Want to find the fastest way to get here? Just say, hey Siri, take me to Substation 2 in Rock Hill.
Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill. and it gets 4 stars on Yelp.
Even faster, order online at mysubstationii.com. Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Have you been personally managing your investment account? Are you happy with your results? Maybe you should consider hiring a genuine money manager. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see how they can help you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or online at andersongriggs.com.
When your health needs attention, you'll find compassionate care at Piedmont Medical Center. We make it convenient to treat emergencies with online check-in at locations in Rock Hill and Fort Mill. Or if you live with a heart condition, our cardiologists provide advanced treatment options to help you live better. And for pain that slows you down, a minimally invasive surgery can help speed you on to recovery. We are your community built on care.
PiedmontMedicalCenter.com.
We know the type. You like to start early, finish late, make lemon squares, and make payments to the college fund from anywhere in the house. We know you rely on Comporium for the things you rely on most, like a view of the backyard. That's just a bunny, and hundreds of channels to watch whenever you want. So you may think of us as just your internet company, but we're more like the I didn't know they could do all that company. Comporium, always ready.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Founders knows you must use your best money-saving strategies to reach your full financial potential, including finding the best interest rates on your credit cards. In our current economy, you've got to make every dollar count. That's why Founders offers low balance transfer rates on all their credit cards. Get the most out of your credit card. Visit foundersfcu.com/cc to apply and save today. Terms and conditions apply. Membership qualification required. Federally insured by NCUA.
If you want to find the best subs and salads, tell Siri, take me to Substation 2 in Rock Hill.
Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill, and it gets 4 stars on Yelp.
Even faster, order online at mysubstationii.com. Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And welcome back to Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Elder Franklin and Betty Plummer with us today from the Rock Hill Symphony Orchestra. They both serve on the board. You don't play an instrument, do you, Betty?
I took piano for 12 years.
Are you playing in the orchestra?
I am not at that level.
But Elda is.
Elda is.
With the viola.
Yeah.
Viola. Oh, pardon me. Viola, viola. You know, it's all the same thing. All right, so you have a big connection, the orchestra does, with schools.
Yes.
Tell me all about this.
Well, we've had a partnership with the Rock Hill Schools since day one. They have been very kind to us. They supply the venue that we perform in free of charge. Before the pandemic struck, I was taking small groups of musicians into the schools to give on-site performances.
Right.
But that ended with the pandemic. Now we are sponsoring a large educational concert every year for a specific grade level. This year it was fifth graders. And we filled South Point High School Auditorium. 1,400 fifth grade students attended an education concert. That is the first time in 15 years that Rock Hill students have had a chance to hear a live symphony orchestra in concert.
So, did you do anything with the students prior to the concert?
I sent out to the teachers a packet of curriculum materials so they could prepare the students for the concert. They also, and this I'm really proud of this achievement, I gave them a song that was part of the Lord of the Rings cycle. And they, all those kids, all 1,400 of them, learned that song, and they performed that song with the orchestra at the concert. That was phenomenal. I mean, that was great.
You know, I'm intrigued that you had 1,400 kids.
Yes.
Were any parents there or just kids?
No, just kids and their teachers.
And their teachers, of course.
And probably some chaperones.
Because with some of the music they listen to today, I mean, mm-hmm. I'm surprised they even got into this. But I bet you they were.
They did. Oh, yeah? I heard from parents. They said that their kids were going around the house all day long singing that song, you know, practicing for the big for the big day, and they did a beautiful job.
They really did. And when the William Tell Overture came on, you could see the bodies bobbing in their chairs as if they were on the horse, and teachers kind of wanting to, you know, pat it down, and we said no, they're feeling the beat. Let them go. This is great. This is what we want.
Did you record that, like, and give it?
I did. I got a video of the song. Yeah.
You did.
Yes.
So, which leads me, with all these concerts that you're doing. And I know you get all this business about copyrights and blah, blah, blah. Uh-huh. I mean, have you ever thought about professionally recording some of your concerts and, I don't know, put them on a CD or something, or put them online so people
yes,
can hear them?
We have thought about that. And
we actually talked about it for the holiday concert, but that might be something we'd look at.
We are, as you may know, we have been working with guest conductors over the past two years.
Right.
When we get a full-time conductor, he or she will be involved in the planning for things like this. And so that's in the pipeline.
All right. So what is involved, besides money, in attracting a full-time conductor? They really aren't full. I mean, they're not doing this like a full-time job, are they?
Some are. It just depends.
Yeah. How big you want to make it.
Yeah.
All right. So what's involved? I mean, what do you do?
They will take charge of the planning of the concerts.
Right.
What we're going to perform. They will be involved in choice of musicians, choice of soloists. They will help us plan for... long-term planning, long-range planning.
So, you know, we were talking about musicians before, and it's, as you call it, the gig economy, which I really like.
Yeah, right.
So does somebody preview whoever shows up for these gig economies? I mean, to find out whether this person can really blow a horn or not? Or how's that done? I mean, if you had five trombone players show up, and
auditions.
You only need one.
Auditions.
You do auditions.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Okay.
And who's the person who decides? The conductor?
Certainly the conductor would make those decisions, but it depends on the orchestra. Some orchestras might have an audition committee, and auditions typically are done blind, behind a screen.
Oh.
So the musician plays whatever they're assigned audition pieces to play. They perform behind the screen, and there may be two or three musicians or more, and the decision is made who did it best.
Absolutely.
It's nerve-wracking. I've done it.
Yeah. So, I mean, it usually auditions for every one of the slots?
That's the way it's supposed to work. It doesn't always, because it depends on, you know, the personnel you have available to handle auditions. Sometimes If you know a person and they're playing in five or six different orchestras, good orchestras, then you just assume they're capable of doing the job.
Right.
So sometimes that happens. In fact, that happens a lot because, you know, it's just it's a matter of personnel.
It's just the way it works.
Available to do the auditions.
And musicians will tell you that there are, at least Ryan Knott, who handles a lot of gathering the right musicians at the right time, tells us that there's the three M's that attract musicians. First, the musicianship and the music that's going to be played. The second M is the mates. They're going to be playing with their friends, other musicians that they know are top-notch, because you only want to play with the best if you think you're the best.
Right.
And number three is the money. Yeah. So, see, the money is least important. They want to enjoy what they do. And musicians want to be the best they can, and conductors want to bring out the best in them, and they want to be the best for the conductors. So, all in all, the symphony really benefits from this. And this is what we work in this area, and that's one of the exciting things about working with the Rock Hill Symphony Orchestra.
Yeah. Yeah, musicians typically are not in this for the money.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be awfully disappointed if they are.
just like our board is a real working board. We have only a part-time operations manager, Erica Smith, who does a great job. But all the board members have to be chairs of a committee, be on a committee or two or three, and pull your part. And that's why you need fundraisers, too.
Exactly. So now you mentioned that you have a number or a website or something where people can get more info.
Oh, absolutely. You can go to rhsymphony.org. You can call for tickets at 1-800-595-4849. And, again, those tickets start at $25. And this particular concert, we are going to feature our violinist, concertmaster Dr. Bill Terwilliger. So it's another wonderful draw. If you haven't heard him before, he's fabulous, and he is part of the symphony orchestra and part of our board.
Yes, and he is known internationally as a wonderful violinist. So he's got an international reputation, and we're really fortunate to have him.
So the music for this Valentine's Day special, February the 11th concert, mm-hmm. South Point High School, you say it's love songs.
Yes.
Now, are these like love songs from what genre? The 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000?
No. These are pieces that were written by composers during the 19th century.
Right.
Each one deals with a different aspect of love. For instance, the Midsummer Night's Dream, that's a comedy by Shakespeare. That's about some ridiculous situations. It's like a farce. these ridiculous situations that these lovers get themselves involved in. It's also got magical elements, you know, the fairies, the elves, the wood sprites, and all of that. It's so that aspect of love, a comedy. The last part, the last piece on our program, is another Shakespeare story of Romeo and Juliet, which is at the opposite end of the spectrum, tragedy.
Yeah.
And
we all
know what happened to Romeo and Juliet.
Mm.
So music that represents different aspects of love. The piece that Bill Terwilliger is playing has a very interesting story. The title of the piece is Poème. It was written by a 19th century French composer, Ernest Chausson, who was inspired by a short story by a Russian writer, Ivan Turgenev, and that is one of the darkest love stories I think I have ever read. It's a love story that only a Russian can write. You know, it's full of all of those dark elements: love, jealousy, violence.
All right, so
you know,
there's definitely going to be some hand-holding pieces. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right, you may even want to get up and give your spouse a kiss, right?
That's right.
There you go.
And buy some roses.
Buy some roses. All right. Well, ladies, thank you for being on the show. Again, the concert is coming up here on February the 11th, South Point High School. Go to rhsymphony.org, find out all the information. Tickets are $25 very quickly. Go ahead.
And we do have a Overture Gala coming up March 23rd, which will be our annual fundraiser. And tickets are only $60 individual there. 100 a couple.
All right, and that's where I'm going to wrap it up. All the info is rhsymphony.org. Y'all have a wonderful day. Our Straight Talk program, of course, made possible by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. All right, y'all did so well first time around. You're now seasoned veterans. You've been inducted into the Substation 2 Hall of Fame. So, at the count of three, let's tell everybody one more time what the heck goes on here 6 days a week. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.